afternoon. Hey, there we are.
Oh, there we go.
That was good afternooning everybody to death there.
You can push the wrong button, you know.
What? Well, the good news is we live in a room with no buttons, so it's...
Yeah, they don't trust us with the buttons at all.
I got that song Blame. We can use that later. So anyway, welcome back to We the People Radio. Here we're doing a show on pot, and we can't we can't get our volume turned on. Oh dear. God. Anyway, first hour disturbing. Second hour will be even more disturbing. But we don't want to delay your getting to the chemistry of it all, because I do believe this will be enlightening for you. So my name is Aaron Ryan. Come it on. Is April the 24th, 2022, and Bill's over there. Aspirating. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yep, do it.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Bill Cundiff. As you know, you might not have known that, but that's a fact. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. And if you're looking for a tractor, you're looking for a mower, mowing season is almost over, so you better get with it. Go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake. And they can fix you up with pretty much any John Deere product you're looking for. Or you can give them a call, 226-9226, or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
Well... easier said than done. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little disclaimer. This hour, I guarantee you, you will need to go do some reading. There's no way, no possible way this will all be compressed into 1 hour of chit-chat with our guest, Jesse LeBlanc. He goes by Jay, though. Makes it easier. The last name is the tricky part. It's LeBlanc, so I thought it was LeBlanc, but he schooled me. So I learned a little bit there. He graduated from the University of Houston with a Bachelor of Science degree in Mechanical Engineering in 1998, summa cum laude. For over 20 years, he provided services as both an employee and a consultant on the inspection, repair, design, and the ExxonMobil pipeline company. He also did risk assessments and hazard operation reviews for multiple pipeline-related projects. And while an employee at ExxonMobil, he received numerous awards as an engineer mentor for his novel solutions and solved several engineering problems, because that's what engineers do. They're not supposed to make the problems. Gosh, we should hire more engineers and have them run for Congress or other things. They're not allowed to make problems. They have to fix them. Oh, my goodness. But he also was in the aircraft industry, and he contributed a chapter. I'm going to skip to the end here, because he contributed a chapter called THC and CBD Decomposition and Terpene Hazards While Vaping or Dabbing to the medical textbook edited by Dr. Ken Finn. It's called Cannabis in Medicine and Evidence-Based Approach. He also has written articles for the parent support group, Every Brain Matters, and one on an expose on the Delta 8 THC, Delta 9, and THC, I don't know, I guess it's O, acetate. I don't speak THC, and I'm guessing that a lot of the people listening don't either. So Jay promised to give us sort of the
layman's version,
the THC rookie view. Yeah. But we want to get to the part about it. Dr. Drum alluded Jay to the fact that they're going to use hemp and they're going to chemically change it. So hemp is legal in the Farm Bureau, Farm Bureau. They're not going to have to grow marijuana. They'll just grow hemp legally and then chemically modify it. So I don't know where you want to start with all this, but it is
I read your article, Jay. It made perfect sense to me. So you might have to dumb it down a little bit for our
Bill,
co-host.
Bill, you liar. Bill came in, his eyes were all big. He's like, what the heck?
No, it's scary. I mean, when you look at what's coming, it's pretty frightening.
All right, yes. Jay. So, Jay, it's all ahead. You.
Okay. I was expecting Phil and Corrine to go first.
Nope, they already did. They were on for a whole hour. They're gone.
Okay, before me. All right. I mean, where do you want to start?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Delta 8. Yeah, there's Delta 8 THC, Delta 10 THC.
Okay, for those of us that are dumb about THC, are the numbers as they, I'm assuming when the numbers go up, it's more potent.
No, not necessarily. Oh. It has to do where the carbon double bond is located. You know, if we, I've got some graphics on that, but I can't share them over the radio, so it's not going to work.
Okay.
But it has to do the position of the one of the carbon double bonds on one of the rings on the molecule. So that's sort of what denotes the 8, you know, 9 and 10. The 9 is the strongest. The 8 is, you know, reported to be about a third less strong. It's potent.
Oh.
And the 10, I mean, a lot of this stuff, there's not a lot of what you would call scientific information on it. A lot of it you've got to glean from, you know, the cannabis industry documents. So 10 doesn't seem to be as strong as 9. Maybe it's closer to 8. Maybe it's slightly weaker. You know, it's reported different ways. But what's interesting is the history of, you know, Delta 10 THC. That's really, I don't think many people know about that. I know when I first read it, I was blown away by it. Because Delta 8, you know, it naturally occurs in the plant, but it's only in trace amounts. It was discovered in 1967 by an Israeli chemist, and he was looking into cannabis plant. So for any large-scale operation, it has to be synthesized. And right now, they're synthesizing it from CBD, you know, via the hemp bill. So, and I think all but, it's roughly 18 states, that it's been outlawed or prohibited. I know in Texas, where I live, they tried to outlaw it, but a judge overturned that and they're, you know, they're going back and looking at it. But it's sort of bizarre when you look into the science. I mean, there's some really unintended, well, it could be intended consequences. I mean, the whole thing is to get people addicted to these drugs and then ultimately make it easier for it to be voted in, because you'll have more people in the majority wanting to have access to these non-altering drugs. I have no idea.
So
but
is,
I mean, Delta 8 and it's,
is the marijuana itself, what's the makeup of that? What are people getting high on? Is it THC 10? Is it THC?
Let's say they grew a plant in their backyard. What does that have in it itself?
I grew up in the, you know, in the 70s, you could say. And, you know, I never used it. I saw people who did, and that was a low potency. But at the end of the day, the one that people really crave is the THC Delta 9 from marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 8 doesn't occur often. They'll say it's natural, but it has to be really synthesized for mass production. And then 10 is a whole other story. Like I said, I don't mean to jump around, and it's sort of like a rabbit hole and sometimes like drinking from a fire hose.
That's okay.
Because it's, you know, people aren't aware of this. So do you want to, I mean, I wanted to give a high-level overview of what 8 is. You know, it's produced using basically, I mean, do you want to talk about isomers?
Yeah, I think that was what was kind of interesting to me, was how they're taking a legal product of CBD. You know, they passed the farm bill. Oh, CBD is great. You know, everybody can sell it. You know, you can get it at the drugstore. And now they're taking that and turning it into something totally different.
Yeah, they are. I mean, there's different ways of doing it, but one of them is, you know, they use an organic solvent. Sometimes it's toluene, which is basically paint thinner. You can buy it at Home Depot.
Great.
And then they use that, and they also use a strong acid. And that could, there's a variety of acids. The latest I've seen to kind of circumvent the hazards is to use a industrial or food grade, I believe it's citric acid. But, I mean, there's different ways of doing it, but, I mean, from what I've read, and like I said, I kind of consider myself an intelligence analysis instead of an expert, because, you know, as an engineer, you have to solve problems. You've got to look at all the data and come up with a reasonable solution based on, you know, rational thought, and that's how we progress. And, you know, looking at this, I mean, it's a clear and present danger to our society of what's going on. And like I said, the Trojan horse right now, at least in my eyes, is the Farm Bill. Because it legalized hemp. CBD is all over the place. And like I said, most of this was known, some of it in the 60s, some of it as early as 1942, about how these molecules can be synthesized into stronger molecules. And it, you know, then focusing mainly on the CBD, you know, they convert it to Delta 8, kind of the rewind a bit. They can use an organic solvent, and then they use an acid. Now, the issue with it is the byproduct. I mean, there's a company, Coverti Labs, out of Massachusetts. There's a really nice graphic. And I actually sent it to Aaron, you know, when we chatted the other day, but I sent her a copy of it. But it's available online. And it's basically, you know, you could probably find it on Google by typing in what's in your Delta 8 from Proverde, P-R-O-V-E-R-D-E Labs. And basically it's a graph, and it shows how many unknowns there are in that product. They refuse to test it, the latest outbreak, because they can't certify it because, let me see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 question marks on this output. And they don't know what those chemicals are. They have no idea. They're not in the database. So they stopped testing it.
Oh, nice.
Certifying it. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. And like I say, some people will say, oh, this is science fiction. Sometimes I've got to pinch myself to realize that I'm not living in a movie. This is real stuff, and it's happening. But that's sort of the gist on Delta 8. I mean, there is some anecdotal evidence, including, I was involved in giving a testimony for South Dakota, myself and some other people, including a parent who lost his son who got psychotic from Delta 8 and committed suicide. And there's also a YouTube video you can go online. It's either under Aubrey Adams or Every Brain Matters, and they interview a young man who uses Delta 8. And he said it made him psychotic. But like I said, this stuff is so new that science hasn't caught up, but the pot industry has, or cannabis industry, however you want to term it. I mean, they know about this stuff from prior science and studies back in the 40s and 60s. And some of these PhD chemists had to know this information because they went hog wild with the Farm Bill. And like I said, you've got this Delta 8 available. And then Delta 10 gets even more interesting because it was discovered by that same Israeli scientist in 1984. And it too could be synthesized, but it required some very dangerous chemicals. But lo and behold, it was rediscovered again by Fusion Farms after they were processing some marijuana plant material that was later found to have been accidentally exposed to fire retardants applied to control a nearby forest fire. And this, I believe, was in California. You know, they didn't want to waste the product so maybe they'd get their Delta 9 out of it. But after they extracted it and distilled it, the finalized product had these unknown white crystals. So they did some more testing. They found it was Delta 10. So they said, hey, we can market this too. So,
wow.
Not a whole lot of information. Go ahead.
When you talk about the Delta 8, Delta 9, Delta O, these are all products that are currently being sold legally. Is that correct?
Yes, you can go online. If you go online, I'm not going to advertise anybody.
Yeah, don't do that.
People find it for themselves. No, but you can put in Delta 8. You can put in Delta 10. You can put in THCO. And put those words in, and then, one at a time. And then after that, you use the suffix online. And guess what? You can buy it online. UPS will deliver it. They won't sell it to those 18 states that they list. But anyway, it's just interesting that most people can buy it online.
Yeah.
And how are they going to check for age? You're going to say, oh, yeah, I'm 21 years old or 18.
Yeah, nobody lies about that.
And like I said, it's real easy to find out. None of this is being fabricated. I mean, I live as an engineer, I got to live in a world of facts. And this world that the, cannabis industry lives in is not a world of facts. It's basically hyperbole.
Sure.
And it never has been a fact either. That's been how they've gotten this far, is to spin this yarn. And then, of course, anybody who opposes it hates people with cancer. You know, that's kind of how it all goes. And up here where they grow it illegally, if you hate it, then you're just a racist, because most of the people who are growing with the cartels up here are foreign. So anyway, it's a magical mystery tour filled with insanity. We'll be right back with our guest, Jay LeBlanc. And you are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Maybe They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was gonna break in two?
Wonderful things, treasures.
Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
Yeah, I think that'll be the theme song for the whole day with this stuff.
Hey, Jay, I had a couple of questions. First
sure.
of all, I'd like to talk a little bit more about this conversion of CBD to the extracts and the potency involved. And then also, is this something that people are like whipping up in their garage, or is this got to be pretty much done in a lab?
Anecdotally, I've heard that people are doing it at their house. It doesn't, I mean, if you go online, there's all kind of information available on doing it at your house.
Wow.
Some of the precursor chemicals are fairly easy to get. For example, toluene. Go to Home Depot and get toluene. Now, making the THCO acetate might be a little bit different because the acetic anhydride that they use to convert that molecule from THC delta, you know, from regular THC to THCO acetate is a DEA, you know, regulated or restricted chemical. So they can also, it's also used to convert morphine into heroin and also into, you know, some chemicals in the methamphetamine.
So that would be a little more difficult to obtain.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not going to profess to be an expert about that. A lot of it's just a lot of digging and reading and connecting dots and reading between the lines. But these others, it's, you know, from what I've read, I mean, there's all kind of cookbooks online that, you know, you and I or anybody who's really interested in this can do it at the house. And some of these reactions are exothermic, meaning they give off considerable amount of heat energy, and you've got to use like some type of cooling bath, you know, maybe dry ice or et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to get in too deep into the weeds, but it has to be cooled or else you'll have an explosion.
Well, and we've already seen a rash of that when the hash oil was all being created with all the shake.
Yeah.
They put it in the...
Oh, yeah, the acetate, and then...
No, they used butane.
Yeah, then...
They used butane, and the houses were blowing up.
Yeah, who knows if it... I mean, yeah, who knows what they're doing. I mean, the media doesn't always report all the facts. That's the other thing. What I've noticed is, you know, I do a lot of research for Every Brain Matters and Parents to Post the Pod, and I'll find a story maybe on a mainstream news outlet, and they'll use the generic term drugs, driving under the influence. But then when you go to the local newspaper, they actually spell out what drug was involved. And,
right.
and a lot of times it's marijuana. So
and
I don't know why that's done. That's a whole other topic.
Right.
It's just a fact.
And then what about the
example after example?
And then what about the potency? I mean, when you take CBD, which is, I don't know, I won't say it's benign, but you know, you can go to the drugstore and buy CBD products. What in converting that to 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever? What is the increase in potency at that point?
From what I've read. You know, just let's say the gold standard is delta 9 THC right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's say that's a base of 1, you know, a factor of 1. Delta 8 THC is about a third less, so it'd be 30%, roughly 30% of the potency of, you know, marijuana-based THC, you know, the delta 9. And it's hard to get a lot of information about delta 10, but it is less potent than delta 9. It may even be slightly less potent, I've read, than delta 8, but it's closer to delta 8 than 9. But, you know, both of those are less potent, but there's a big but. You can go online and buy THCO acetate or just THC acetate. There's different ways of writing it. Made from delta 8 THC, you know, based from hemp. And that's legal. You can buy it online. It's real easy to find. What's interesting about that is when you basically call it the process of you add an acetyl group to that CHC molecule or acetylate it, guess what happens? It increases the potency roughly three times. So you have delta 8 at one-third the potency of delta 9. You acetylate it, which is readily available online, and guess what? You're up to the same potency as delta 9 THC.
Yeah.
That's what scares me. And I mean, how many people are driving, operating, having machinery, doing who knows what else, maybe even owning a firearm, and using this stuff, and they get psychotic or really impaired, or they drink alcohol, which also intensifies the effects of this
or they're
stuff.
Or they're just taking regular medication.
Yeah, and we're talking a drop or two of this out of an eyedropper, right?
I mean, some of it are vapes. I mean, they have vaping, they have tinctures, they have gummy bears, you name it, they have a product. Sometimes it kind of turns my stomach when I go and do some research and I see this stuff. It's like I'm not against, people want to, I guess this isn't a victimless, using this is not victimless. I mean, it's going to affect somebody besides the user. And, if people want to use this, maybe there are some medicinal purposes of it, but there's a lot of FDA drugs, just like, you brought up CBD. Epidiolex is FDA approved CBD. It's a pharmaceutical drug by GW Pharmaceutical. There's THC is in the form of Dravenol, et cetera, for different illnesses, for wasting and AIDS and that. I mean, it's all fine and dandy. But, are people really using it honestly for medicinal purposes, or is it really another smokescreen Trojan horse? And the other thing is, you talk to a lot of people, I've got contacts who have, children or acquaintances who are in rehab. And, some of these kids are using these products while they're in rehab thinking they're safer. So, it's really a Pandora's box. I have no idea what the grand plan is, but it's kind of scary when you look at the different scenarios. I mean, like Aaron alluded to earlier, my background is risk assessment and also looking at, hazardous operations, which are HAZOPs. And that's basically whenever you change something at a facility, there's going to be intended consequences and unintended consequences. And, if you know what those changes are going to produce, most of them are good, but sometimes there's these changes that occur that aren't wanted, or unwanted, rather. So the whole process, you go through that, and you determine what are the unwanted consequences or unintended consequences, and how can we mitigate those consequences to make the process safer. I hope, does that kind of make sense to you guys?
Yeah, sure does.
Yeah, so when I actually did a risk assessment on pot once a few years ago. But if you look at it from a risk-based decision-making process that's used by a lot of the major corporations, which is based on a military standard risk assessment, it's almost exactly the same. There's slight nuances, but it's 90% the same. But when you go through that methodology, it's like, why are we doing this? It's so foreign to me for any of this to be happening, because right. There's these unintended consequences, especially our children. I mean, right. it's destroying families. I mean, I've read about it. I mean, that's why I do this. I don't get paid for any of this stuff. I mean, I just do it because it's the right thing to do, because nobody else is doing it. I mean, I shouldn't say nobody. There's a few of us. There's just, I don't know. I mean, in some of these email lists, they may have 90 people. I mean, it may be more than that, but it's not a whole lot when you see what's at stake. There should be armies. We should have armies of attorneys helping us. But we have maybe one or two. One in particular, Dave Evans. But, I mean, you can just see where this is going to lead us. I mean, if you just do what we call a hazard operation, something's changed, you've legalized this substance, you've got the form bill, nobody even thought about the unintended consequences. It's really frightening when you look at it from that perspective.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we're dealing with a drug that's going to be readily available to pretty much anybody, including kids. And I think the consequences are going to be catastrophic.
Well, it's all being promoted to the youth as much safer, much more natural, much less harmful than alcohol. Look, your parents all drink. Look what it did to their lives. You know, you have drunk driving and you have all these things and alcohol is bad. But, you know, marijuana, that's not hazardous. And I know I'm like a broken record, but I've been up on those grows and I've seen the 55-gallon drums of spray adhesive that they're spraying on the plants to make the buds grow bigger. Well, I'm sorry, but when you harvest those, the spray adhesive just doesn't go away. It's baked into the equation. And then you add, now let's add some toluene. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it'd be like serving your kids a glass of, you know, like, I mean,
chemical cocktail.
Nail polish remover, let's drink that. I mean, there are lots of things we don't put in our mouths. And most of the things that are listed in the stuff you've sent us are things we don't put in our mouth.
Well, also, could you talk a little bit about, I read in one of the articles that we posted about the effects on the male and female reproductive systems on that some of these chemicals are doing to folks.
Yeah, I mean, what got me turned on to that was reading a 1980s vintage book by Peggy Mann called Pot Safari. And, you know, unfortunately, she passed away from breast cancer at a young age, I think, of 50. She's a wonderful lady. She got awards from the Reagan, well-known, wrote several articles for the Reader's Digest. But she went across the United States and interviewed a good number of different scientists at the time. And basically what she found back in the 80s is being validated by what, you know, Dr. Stuart Reese has found and many other doctors. But, yeah, it can affect the male and female, you know, endocrine system, and that can lead to a whole host of issues. And, you know, I'm really not an expert on that. Like I said, I'm more of a intelligence analyst, and just looking at the data, but it's not good. But like I said, a lot of this stuff was known back in the 80s.
That's the pivotal part, because we've had, and for those people who would like to know more about that particular side of it, Dr. Stuart Reese has been on with us a couple of times, and you can go on and read and listen to his findings. But the idea that this was readily available knowledge back in the 80s, I mean, we didn't just find this.
And back in the 80s, they were dealing with marijuana that was so much less potent than what they're dealing with today. So it's got to really increase the effects.
Yeah, you make a good point too. And you know, another argument that I read that they also used against some of this 80s research was that, you know, they tested on monkeys, baboons rather, and they said, well, the potencies that you were given or the doses were higher than normal. Well, that argument no longer floats, if you ask me, because of the potencies that we have now. Back then, what was it, 2-3%, maybe 5%? Now we're up to 100% potency.
Yeah.
We could go on and on about the endocrine system impact. I mean, if there's some research, and like I said, I don't mean to chase the rabbit, but I'll leave it at this. What's really interesting for those who are interested, you can go online, and I forget, you know, the technical term kind of eludes me right now, but I know everybody's heard of man boobs, but there's in Colorado and other states that have legalized pot, the plastic surgeons have found an uptick in this syndrome in male pot users, and one of the first things they tell them to do is to stop smoking the weed because it throws their hormones off.
And stop wearing polo shirts.
Yeah, to get, you know, to grow breast tissue, you need progesterone. I mean, that's a hormone that males don't have a lot of. So, I mean, you can just kind of infer, you know, connect the dots. Well, you know, and a lot of this is probably genetic, but it kind of amazed me by, you know, what I found regarding that whole issue with the endocrine system being impacted. And if you go on PubMed, P-U-B-M-E-D, if you just type that in, there's a lot of research papers on that. You know, you can just type in cannabis or marijuana and endocrine system, and there's research paper after research paper about how THC, specifically THC and those molecules, and it can affect the endocrine system. I mean, what's really interesting, too, I know earlier you brought up CBD. It's sort of benign, but have y'all ever, are y'all aware of the FDA pamphlet for Epidiolex, which is, you know, CBD?
No.
Okay, here, if you give me a second, I'll pull it up. If you're interested in from me reading off.
Yeah, because, you know, the thing is, people are being completely misled. They're being told that CBD is safe. I mean, they're, giving it to their dogs.
So this is, yeah, so if you go online, you can type in Epidiolex and put in FDA side effects. And then you can put in Marinol, M-A-R-I-N-O-L, side effects. That's THC, synthetic THC, that's FDA approved. But let me read you the warnings for Epidiolex. Here are the adverse reactions to it. And this is, like I said, this is from the manufacturing on the from the FDA. Somnolence, which is sleepiness. Decreased appetite. Diarrhea. I know we all know about, you know, cannabis hyperemesis syndrome, CHS. So is that the diarrhea they're referring to? I have no idea. Elevated liver enzymes, fatigue, malaise, weakness, rashes, insomnia, sleep disorder, and poor quality sleep, infection. And here's the warning for Epidiolex. Liver injury, somnolence and sedation, do not drive or operate heavy machinery, suicidal behavior and ideation, hypersensitive reactions, should be gradually withdrawn to minimize the risk of increased seizure frequency and status epileptic. It's an epilepsy medicine. And finally, pregnancy. Based on animal data, may cause fetal harm. They don't get into what those harms are. Probably some, who knows what those are, but we can kind of infer reading between the dots.
Yeah, you can go back to the Marinol, Stuart Reese deal. We have to let's take a really quick break and then come back with Marinol right after the break, Jay. I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, false sense of well-being is a sign of an overdose. I'm thinking, so you feel really happy and you're definitely overdosing. The list on Marinol was stunning. We'll come back and do that. You are listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sometimes I really think I'm going crazy in the night. When I hide down in the covers and I won't turn out the light. I think nothing's gonna get to me, but then again it might. What can I do to keep from going crazy in the night?
I'm thinking stop using THC.
Yeah, you won't go crazy.
And cut back on the Marinol, too, after reading the list on that. That's a big non-starter. So back to you, Jay. Sorry. The comedy portion is over now.
Okay, so Marinol, adverse effects. Abdominal pain, dizziness, euphoria, nausea, paranoid reaction. That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Sleepiness, thinking abnormal, vomiting. That's the adverse reactions. Now, warning may cause psychiatric and cognitive effects and impair mental and or physical abilities. Do not drive or operate heavy machinery. Patients with cardiac disorders may experience hypotension, syncope or tachycardia, seizures and seizure-like activities, multiple substance abuse, paradoxical nausea, vomiting, or abdominal pain. That sure sounds like CHF. I mean, they knew about this years ago. Pregnancy may cause fetal harm. Lactation advised HIV-infected women not to breastfeed. I wonder why. advise women with nausea and vomiting associated with cancer chemotherapy not to breastfeed during treating with Marinol and or 9 days after the last dose. Like I said, there is a use for this, but it needs to be correctly prescribed. And lastly, geriatric use. Elderly patients may be more sensitive to the neuropsychiatric and postural hypotensive effects. Consider a starting dose, a lower starting dose in elderly patients. So that's sort of a summary of what the FDA literature states. So, like I said, you know, you could infer that some of these adverse effects are related to over-the-counter. You can get it at your local gas station, convenience store, CBD, Delta 8, Delta 10, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, like I said, it's sort of sad that we're in this situation in the 21st century in the United States. It's like, I mean, is this a third world country with a, you know, a Gucci purse thinking it's got it all together, but it really doesn't?
Yeah, it is kind of frightening that this is allowed to continue because you know
it's being promoted.
Yeah, they
know. I'm sorry, when you put a store next to Target or wherever you've got it, and here it's all being sold. When you're a kid and you see something sold in the store,
it's okay.
You think it's okay.
You think it's
safe. You just do.
You're just not old enough to go in yet.
You're absolutely promoting it.
I know. I mean, I think some of you guys may remember back in the day you could buy candy cigarettes in the store.
Oh, yeah.
I used to buy them.
Forgot about that.
You know, and just play like you're smoking cigarettes. Although I never did smoke and I hated it, but it just, I don't know. It's just cool. Just that's what everybody did. Everybody had them in their pocket just playing around, goofing around. But that's nothing to be normalized. And this is even more normalized than tobacco was back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at what the play tattoos have gotten us. Everybody looks like they're in the circus.
Yeah. Like I said, it's just that. There's some unintended consequences, or maybe intended, you know, to basically addict a whole population or a good population, a good portion of the population. But, I mean, you would think that as technologically advanced as the United States is, they would be looking at this a little bit more discreetly instead of just ignoring it completely. That's the most troubling thing for me.
Yeah, and the science isn't, as you pointed out, isn't new. None of this is new information, but the idea that they backdoored what they want to do by calling it hemp and making it look like, you know, an alternative to you know, products we can, you know, I mean, we can get from timber. A lot of that has a cross purpose. Oh, hemp. They made paper out of hemp. That's all they ever come up with. The founding fathers grew hemp. It's harmless.
Yeah, they made rope out of it.
They made rope out of it. They can make clothes out of it. Well, that's terrific. But I have a feeling that industry isn't looking at getting rich on
rope.
On rope.
No. Well, I mean, they made hemp rope, but it was as soon as synthetics came out, roughly around World War II, you know, like your nylon,
yeah,
you know, polypropylene, et cetera. I mean, hemp rope went by the wayside.
It's sure
more
did.
A decorative item, you know,
yeah,
that I've seen people make crafts out of. So, I mean, it's not a really good argument. In fact, all our clothes, I mean, I don't know if we want hemp clothes, but anyway.
Well, but that's just all part of the big lie. And people, if they don't have the kind of information that, like, you guys are all sharing and that we've been really loading up on, if people don't have that information, I went to a Board of Supervisors meeting, I was telling you about that a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, and they had no idea. They had no idea that any of this was going on. They were still harboring under the delusion that if they legalized commercial growing of cannabis, that it was going to be a big tax boon for the county, and it was going to fund all their law enforcement and do all these other great things. And it's like, you guys do realize that all the cartels are going to move in, right? Oh, no, because they'll have to get business licenses. Like, when was the last time an illegal cartel of anything? I mean, that's like,
yeah,
did the mob get business licenses? It's just crazy. That's never been true. So if you're not watching what your state and your county, specifically your counties and your cities, people can make an impact at that level. You should know where your city officials and your county officials sit on this topic, because they're the ones who will walk it in and bury your community in it, ostensibly for the, you know, public safety dollars that they will be reaping from the state.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I got another. I mean, the state of California, are you kidding me? That's like the Charlie Brown, Lucy and the football thing. You know, just legalize it. We'll help you. We'll help you enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then somebody's going to have to deal with all these medical issues. I mean, it, what I see, it's the poor parents who are having to deal with this. You know, the media, and that includes, you know, Hollywood and the news media. I mean, they seem to be pushing this stuff on people and making it normalized. But, I mean, it's the parents who have to pick up, who have to deal with the collateral damage.
Right. And the people who get hit by them when they're driving. And the people that are having, you know, I mean, like Dr. Reese has told us, I mean, this is like the second coming of thalidomide, where the babies were born with, you know, their hands attached to their elbows and things like that. They're having a huge rash of that in places where cannabis consumption is very high. There are huge consequences to this long term, and the chromosomal damage. I just, you know, some of this stuff. I mean, I could be 100 years old and I would never forget. The chromosomal damage lasts for four generations. So this isn't like if you did this in your early 20s and then you stopped, it goes away forever. This stuff lurks.
No, and you know what's funny? I've been, you know, I have a summer home in Colorado, and I've gone to many of the local border county commissioners meetings. And you can, this isn't to be critical of anybody, but you can tell that certain people, in some cases, do drugs because they just look different. They look older. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's just interesting.
Well, Dr. Reese said they've in the studies.
Oh yeah, no,
it ages them like 30 years.
I can believe it.
30 years.
And you know what? Yeah. And some people may get lucky genetically, just like some people can smoke their whole life and never get lung cancer.
Right.
But that's not always the case. I mean, just say half of the people are affected by this. Or even a quarter, or even 10%. That's still too many. 10% of the United States would be, 10% would be 36 million people. I mean, that's just, I think there's 360 million people in the United States, so 10% would be 36 million. I mean, is that an acceptable number? Even 1%, it'd be 3,600,000. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's sort of my risk assessment mind looking at the problem. But 1% is too many. 0.5%. I don't want to get started down that road, but my main goal is to just educate people who are willing to listen, but especially the parents who don't know this, so they can take appropriate measures, educate their children, or at least do something, or, you know, get politically active. But we've got to do something, because this road that the United States is on, the end doesn't look pretty.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see on this CBD thing and this farm bill where this all leads. I mean, we already have a huge drug problem in this country, especially with fentanyl. But with this being so readily available, like I say, it'll be interesting to see where this ends up in the next 6 months. As far as the CBD is concerned.
Yeah. We have de facto, you know, from my eyes, if you really look at it, what THC products are available today, we sort of have de facto legalization all over the United States, you know, or most of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they may not have recreational Delta 9 THC for marijuana plants, it's got all these derivatives from CBD that are readily available. That you can basically get in all but maybe 18 states. But then you can always cross state lines or maybe lie or something, or get your buddy in another state to mail order it and then get it shipped to you. I mean, there's all kind of different ways of circumventing the law.
Yeah, and they're doing it now. They're just flouting the law because they've completely overwhelmed law enforcement in all their our rural places. But see, now if they can grow the hemp legally and then just do all the chemical manipulation of it later, are you really going to know what they're doing in that warehouse? You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could do this on... What do you think, Jay, from a chemical engineer standpoint? I mean, this is a pretty easy, large-scale operation, don't you think?
I mean,
I don't mean, like, Bill and I should go do it, but I mean, if you, you know...
Yeah, I would think so because it's everywhere. I mean, if it wasn't economically viable, I seriously doubt that they would have all of these products available basically everywhere.
True.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, the economics has to be in their favor. I know this, from what I've read, again, they stated that there was a glut of CBD on the market. So they're using that, the economics of low-cost CBD to convert it chemically into, you know, these Delta variants. Now, I'm not talking about 9, but 8 and 10, you know, THCO acetate, and there's some more out there, which you probably don't have time to cover, but, I mean, there's some new ones that I found a couple weeks ago, THCP and THCV. And THCP is derived from hemp, and it's supposed to have 20 times the affinity for the same receptors in the brain, and it's reported to be 5 to 8 times more potent than Delta 9 THC.
Wow.
And this is available online too. Yeah. And I just found this out a couple weeks ago. I haven't dug real deep into it, so don't want to really get in the weeds with that too much, but it's
evolving.
It's a similar process.
Yeah, the bottom line is this is evolving, and they're looking for a bigger and bigger high. And then when that wears off, then you move to some other, dangerous drugs.
Yeah, like fentanyl. I mean, think through history. First it was opium, and then it was, opium, you can make morphine out of it. Now, just so happens if you acetylate or add an acetyl group to morphine, you have heroin.
Heroin,
okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then heroin is, 2 to 4 times stronger? And then I'm not sure the connection between, I wish Phil was on the line. He could tell us. But, now we have opioids. Those are probably some kind of synthetic heroin or whatever. I'm not going to quote. But
yeah.
We have opioids. And then it graduated to fentanyl. Each of those is an incremental increase in potency. And if you look at some of these old studies, like from 1942, it'll show you these different analogs and kind of THC-based chemicals that they knew about back then. And they have some out there that are 100 times stronger than just regular THC.
And bottom line is, we've known this. We're turning a blind eye to it. Jay, we're going to have you on again because there's way too much information. We want to thank you for coming on with us today.
It's like drinking from a fire hose.
It is, and that's okay. People need to know. I hope everybody steps up and does something about it in your own community.
Yep.
You can find all of this, including the commercial-free archive, at wethepeopleradio.us.
Oh,